Hello, this is Mark O'Donnell with the Operations Excellence Podcast. This is podcast number 2 from the beautiful studios at Growth Mode Technology here in wonderful East Syracuse, New York. Thanks to our host, Matt Major, and thank you to our producer, the ever-present and wonderful Mike Brindisi. Mike, how are you today?
Let me pop on. I'm great.
I'm great. How are you?
Living the dream. You know, we're seeing some snow melt here, and that's a wonderful thing. Eventually, maybe by the end of March, we'll see some lawn eventually, and eventually get to golf season.
That'd be nice.
Yes, it would. I would love to introduce our guest today. So we have with us from Distinctive Voices here locally, Joanne Yarrow and Brad Beckman.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys today?
Great. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us. So for our listeners, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourselves and a little bit about your background?
So I'll start. I'm primarily a director producer for stage and screen as well. And basically, if you need anything kind of an event put together, that's my job. But I've also been in the industry for over 30 years. I've run conservatories, I've run companies, I just love what I do. To me, I don't go to work. So it's really, really great that I get to be able to take an idea from, hey, just having a conversation to seeing it blown up on a stage or blown up on a screen. It's the best feeling in the world.
And I'm a writer, director type. Editor and narrative consultant, those kinds of things, scripted advisor and consultant. And I also have been in the business for about 30 years. Love to help projects come to fruition, people to be able to realize their narrative ideas.
So it's safe to say that your world that you live in is performing arts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
predominantly.
Storytelling. Yep. And I think that is something that never goes out of fashion. Everybody's got a story to tell.
Yep.
And there are so many stories that have not been told. I mean, I can sit here and listen to you tell your story and I'll, pop up with an idea. We can make it into a mini series. There we go.
It's also true, though, that I think that, story ends up becoming a really significant part of all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
That people become customers, potential customers become much more engaged if they feel like they're part of, they understand the narrative of the company and what the company's trying to do and what their plans are. And
it
goes that direction as well.
Absolutely. We're all always telling a story. And as a former boss of mine once said, we're all selling all the time, even if you're not in sales, right? We're selling an idea. We're selling a concept. We're all selling ultimately. So let's jump in. Tell us a little bit about Distinctive Voices. Where the business, how the business got started, how long you've been in business?
Sure. So it started in Miami. I was a director of an organization called Teatro Prometeo, which was an all Spanish language actor conservatory. And in Miami specifically, there's a big bilingual market.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to do workshops back in the day when people used to do PowerPoint presentations and you would rather wash your cat than go to a PowerPoint presentation. Like, oh God, I got to go to a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh,
I hate
yeah.
this. Right. So I started working with people in the medical profession and bankers, lawyers, anybody who had to speak publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing I do understand is an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are certain tools and techniques and things that really can help people get over the number one thing, which is stage fright, public speaking. And then out of that, it started to kind of morph also into the industry. So film companies would also call me in to do coaching for some of their films. And we started somehow getting into the world of animation as well. And then we moved here to Syracuse, right? And we moved here in 2018, 2019, and then 2020 happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what happened. But for us, oddly enough, it was an interesting opportunity. Having to get online, having to get on Zoom, where you have so many friends who are, work internationally in Australia and Africa and all these different places. And all of a sudden, we had to figure out how to tell stories not being in the same room.
Right.
And I think that that was super exciting. So we got invited to be a part of a team, animation production team, boot camp team in Kenya. And Brad, you were the narrative consultant, right?
Yeah, I was. I mean, one of the things I think that's a particular kind of gift that we have, or part of the kind of work that we were doing for those previous 30 years. A theater director is the need is to work with someone, an actor, mm-hmm. say, and to help them shape something, to bring something out of them. And that conversational sense of be just cuddling and encouraging and softly, you know, massaging and let's help it come out was a really great thing in that environment of working with the young African animators. Mm. It ended up being a way that development happened more fully, more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very fruitful. You know, our time in Kenya was very fruitful in terms of developing a kind of way to work with people via the internet, because we were very used to the notion of needing to, even though there was the internet, there was the technology standing in the way. There was right. another thing, which was that's just our task.
So if you could boil it down, you do a very specific form of coaching.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
where we relate to each other, right? A lot of what I do is a form of coaching, but mm-hmm. but you guys are very specific for a very specific result with a very specific group, people or audience.
Yeah, you know, again, it's specific and it's broad at the same time. Like I said, everybody has a story to tell.
Yeah.
So I was brought on to teach acting for animators.
Right.
Because the word animation means to breathe.
Sure.
Right? To come to life. So Brad was working on the script development component of it. I was making sure that the story made sense, right? Mm-hmm. And that it could be working out there. And then out of that, it was, again, we started getting more people that were interested, people in Indiana, people in Australia. It was really crazy. We didn't have to do much heavy lifting, which was really crazy, that would come to us and say, hey, I have this story. Can you help me develop it? And we would be like, okay, let's talk about what is the end goal, mm-hmm. right? Where do you want to see it? Is it a stage performance? It is a TV show? Is it a, you know, feature film?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Because each one of those things is a specific rubric, right? To be able to, is it a commercial? Sometimes it's just a commercial. It's a, when we worked with the animators in Africa, they had to come up with a 30-second commercial. You know how hard it is to tell a story in 30 seconds?
Oh, yeah.
It's really hard. So, but it's also really fun. So,
sure.
So that's one of the things that I think came out of this is that I just started connecting with the world over the internet, and then we started to connect with each other. Then we went to Africa. Then we met the friends in Indiana. Then it was really, really great.
That is so cool. And we've known each other for a few years now. And one of the things that of the many things I love about the two of you is the passion. Right, that you bring for what you do. You love what you do. And you said it earlier, it doesn't feel like working. This is just what you love to do, that you have such a passion for it. And it shows. It just shows naturally. And that's so cool, right, to work and know folks like you guys. So tell the audience a little bit about the specific services that you offer through Distinctive Voices.
I'll let you start with narrative.
So there's sort of two main categories.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is narrative development, where we work with people to develop whatever it is that they want to do. A lot of times it's folks that want to, I mean, one of the things that's a great way for actors to self-promote is to create a one-person show that showcases them as a talent.
Mm-hmm.
But frequently those actors don't necessarily have, let's say, accomplished writing skills,
right,
or something along those lines. So we help people develop things in that sort of situation. But it's also true that something that's more not audition-oriented things, where people are auditioning for things, but when something's further along and it's meant to go out to a general public,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to engage it and help that narrative grow if that's what they're looking for, if that's
right.
what they want. And
so in those cases, you would help them write that one person show
if that's what they want.
Right. Or help them write that narrative that's going out to the general public.
Or be the coach that, I mean, I might not necessarily be the writer on it. I might just be sort of suggesting both of us work as coaches, sort of, well, the narrative would be stronger if it went this way or this happened, kind of thing happened or something along those lines. And that, so that's one way that the narrative development works. And then another way is when a company needs to move forward in some way that has to do with branding, then we can help the notion of the brand. I mean, we're very interested, our backgrounds, something that's very true about the theater is what you really want is for a performance to be authentic, for people to believe it. They need to audience to believe it. They need to feel like it's authentic, what they're looking at, which generally means some level of true, like coming from a place of truth.
Sure.
And so we listen to what the client has to say and want to try to incorporate aspects of what is it that you're sounding like? What is it that you're wanting to express? Who is it that you're wanting to talk to? What is this brand in the first place? And let's start from its origins as opposed to something that has to do with something fabricated and pasted on.
So that's fascinating, especially to me, because what I hear you saying is with clients, you're teasing out of them, right? What their needs and wants are, where they want to go. And sometimes I'm sure you have found this because that is part of what I do as well, is it's a Q&A and it's constantly spinning the top and getting deeper because sometimes they know clearly and sometimes they don't. Or sometimes they kind of do and they're having a hard time expressing it, right? Or it could be anything in between there. And so you're teasing it out and sometimes you really have to dig a little deeper and get them to dig a little deeper, right? And I'm sure that's a big part of what you're trying to do to get to that point where you understand and they understand clearly where they want to go, what they want that finished product to look like.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I think one of the nice parts about working with you is that you got that left brain, right brain, you know, collaboration. And that is really cool. I'm really into arts being integrated in the business world and the business world being integrated in the arts, because a creative business is a successful business.
Absolutely.
And an artist with business sense is a successful artist.
Yeah.
Right? So why aren't we collaborating more together?
Yeah.
Why aren't we learning from each other? And I think that being able to find people in the business sector that can really empower artists based on their knowledge, but also receive a little bit of, hey, how do I think outside of the box? I really like to check off lists. I don't like coloring outside of the lines.
Oh, yeah.
I'm being asked to do these things that make me terribly uncomfortable.
Oh, that's me as an engineer by background. And that's why I love you guys, right? Because I tell people, oh, my performing arts people, right? And you guys are so much fun to work with because you think differently than I do, right? But yet when you bring those two together, you just described it, there's real power when you bring those two together. And I kid people, right? It's like, you ask me to draw something, I'm going to draw you a stick figure, right? If I don't have a straight edge, I'm lost, you know?
Right.
But you guys think so differently. It is that left brain, right brain.
And I think it's so important because it's also how we all receive, how your clients receive communication, how our clients receive communication. I have to be very attentive to who is listening on the other side. And, you know, it's language at the end of the day. And that's, I think, one of the cool things about being narrative consultants and directors is that we're kind of always looking to see, okay, what language does my audience hear in? What do they speak? How can I connect with them? So,
you're hitting on a point now, which is near and dear to my heart, and that's really empathetic listening. Right. And empathy is not just understanding how somebody else feels, but why they feel that way. Right. Really, you know, the old adage is walking in somebody else's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And to really connect, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? Right.
Yeah.
And so in your world and in mine, there's a common ground. Right. Because for me to connect with somebody or for one of my clients to truly connect with their team members, right? Or their associates that might work on their team or with their clients, their customers. It's that empathetic connection, right? And that is a skill that one can develop, right? And we were talking before we started the podcast today, I think before you guys even got here, right? That I'm so impressed with young people who have developed that level of empathy and that ability to listen with empathy and connect that way. Because with most of us, me included, right, I think it took longer in life experiences to develop that, unless you have had a chance to develop it through a development program or through one-on-one coaching.
Well, also, you know, the world is getting smaller,
yep.
right? And so we're not just dealing with people who live in our community. We might be dealing with somebody who lives halfway across the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember back in the day when we had to, like, take classes of how Japanese business people, you know,
sure.
you know, can their culture and how does that work? And but now we're such an amalgamation of different businesses, even different art. You know, we went to Africa. They don't tell stories in a linear way.
Right.
Not at all. So we had to learn how they tell stories that is connected to their community. Another fun thing is I got to direct a show on boxing. I knew nothing about boxing when I started, which I love. I love to go into something where I know nothing about. And I, you know, I got so immersed in the boxing world. I got to meet Muhammad Ali's fight doctor. I got to take boxing classes. I got to work with the, you know, Olympic team. It was fabulous to learn about this world and this code that they have inside. And so there's where you get the movies and the plays and all these things about the boxing world or about the Albert Einsteins or about the baseball stars,
right?
Because, again, I think everybody's story is just, I'll never get bored. I don't think I'll get bored. I don't know.
Yeah, that's another correlation, right?
Yeah.
That I'm hearing you talk and I'm thinking about how much fun I have every time I connect with a new business person or a new organization, could be a not-for-profit. And you walk into worlds that you didn't even know existed, right? There's a whole subculture almost with some of these worlds, and it's fascinating, right? And like you, and I that's why another reason I love you guys is your passion for lifelong learning,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's what I do. It's so much fun. Even if I don't gain a new client, I've learned something that day. I've gained a new friend, right?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Exactly.
So you mentioned that... we've worked together mm-hmm. a little bit. If you could share with the audience, both of you, you know, what your experience has been in working with me through Operations Excellence and what you've got out of that and what that's been like for you.
Well, I'm impressed because Brad always loves to come. So I'm going to let you take over, Brad.
He's the
tough one. He's the Mikey.
Yeah.
He hates everything.
Well, I think that the part of the business that we didn't explicate is the other side of it that has to do with coaching, personal coaching, mm-hmm. but on the level of making people better communicators,
mm-hmm.
and so that they feel more comfortable, less stage fright, more at ease in terms of being authentic when they're up in front of a mic, you know.
Sure.
And making that something that they're more comfortable with. And Joanne's, well, you talk about the bedside manner stuff.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I think, again, working with, yeah, if you're working with a doctor, you know, nowadays, does your doctor ever look you in the eye? They're terrified. They're incredible researchers. They have an amazing amount of knowledge about what their work is, but they still have to connect with human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So where is that? Where is that moment that teaches them empathy, like you talked about?
Right.
While still protecting themselves, because, you know, it must be tough if you've had a couple of tough things, news that you've had to tell people, not to have it kind of imprinted onto you as well.
Sure.
But being able to help people authentically connect with each other, authentically find your voice, I think, you know, now there's so many new businesses. But one of the things they don't teach in business school is, you know, public speaking in a very authentic way.
Mm.
They make you take a speech class, but it's not the same. You're not actually, you know, it's and some people are very natural at it, but most people aren't, right? And so how do you connect? So one of the things I think that was really great, we're artists, right? And you're the business side. So definitely... where you came in was to provide that structure where you would ask us the hard questions, mm-hmm. like, okay, what is your strategic plan? Where are you going to be in 2 months, 3 months, a year? How are you putting these, you know, pieces together? How are you thinking in that kind of way, that so that your artistic work can actually be something that, you know, has a, is packaged, is, has a value, whether it's in the entertainment sector or whether it's in the business sector. And that's one of the things I think that was really important for us, because you had a ton of patience for all of our stories.
And helped, I think helped us really recognize a way in which sort of the bucket that is the customers, the clients for this kind of work is not necessarily, there may very well be no crossover at all in terms of the bucket that's for this kind of client.
Right.
And that the approach that we need to take is really almost two-pronged. It needs to be like one kind of marketing effort, which is, because the stuff that has to do with stories very much about people feeling comfortable with you and how, I mean, feeling comfortable with, I should say, us,
yeah.
Me, how I, with how I relate to them and what it is that I'm talking to them about and what it is that they want to express. And the side of it that has to do with the performance coaching is making people feel like they're being more successful at what it is that they're trying to put out,
mm-hmm.
propagate. So it's just different kinds of things. And it was really helpful working with you to sort of identify, okay, these are really two different things. And that was a good takeaway for me.
Yeah, cool. Absolutely. I think for a lot of artists who want to, you know, find a way to, how do I make, you know, what I do into a business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ask somebody, ask any artist coming out of undergrad or grad school, so what's your retirement plan?
Right.
They don't think about their retirement plan. They're thinking about a gig.
Right.
Right. And paying the rent. But I think one of the things that I think is important that I wish I had was when I was in school learning how to act and direct and all those things, that there was also a financial component to it. There was also all these other things.
Sure.
But they were so scary to me. They're scary to me as somebody doing public speaking.
Right.
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 So I think one of the things that you're very good at is we always felt like we were in a no judgment zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's so important, because many times when you're, you know, we know what we can do, but when we're entering into a whole new world, which is a business world, we're like, okay, we have no clue what we're doing. Help. Right.
It's so important what you just mentioned too, the no judgment zone, right? Because I use the analogy, right? The engineer in me, right? With people is, look, you may have this vision, this place out here you want to get to. Here's my goal, right? This wonderful place, right? But you can't get there. You can't draw a straight line, right? Unless you define two points in space, right? And so it's so important to understand as objectively and clear-eyed as possible where you are today, right? The good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, right? And so it's so important for me to allow people that space to do that and help them get there, because if they don't, it's not likely they're going to get anywhere near this place out here, right? Because if you can't define where you are today, you don't know what you need to do to get out here, right? And so, it's something that I appreciate you saying that. And it's great to hear clients say that, because it is so important to their success. And I look at it this way, my client, I only succeed when they succeed, right? Because at the end of the day, right, the greatest advertising is word of mouth, right? And so I always want my clients going, yeah, hey, this guy helped us get from here to here. And this is where we really want it to be. So that is awesome. Tell us how things are going today with Distinctive Voices. I know you guys have made some great strides. Mm-hmm. Again, I think we've been connected for close to 2 years now.
Yeah. Well, Brad, you can't say what they are, but you got a couple of projects in the pipeline.
And we can't talk specific
enough. NDAs.
But there's there are several projects that are in development with production companies that are in Europe.
Okay.
And one of those companies I've sort of taken on a role of being part of their development team. So when a project becomes something that they would like to try to cultivate, read a novel or read a short story or something like that, that they'd like to see, this could maybe be something. Can this be something? Then I become somebody that they might either have be an early reader or help them think about how it could develop further. That's one of the things that's going on right now. There's a client that we've worked with in the past is on a one-woman show, has made noises about wanting to do the next one. So that may happen. It's all very much contingent upon what, you know, what the client is interested in.
Brad has a skill that is losing, I don't know what the word is, but he is an avid reader and can, I mean, it's so hard today with so many emails and so many stuff that we now scan. We don't actually read.
Right.
Right. And I think Brad has a very unique talent, which is he really like deep dives into whatever he's reading and can be able to say, hey, you know, we can create this into a mini series, or we can put this into a film, or this would be a great play, or be able to like see where people are in their process. I think that that's, you know, yeah, he's the reader. If I need something read, I give it to Brad, right? But, and I'm, because I'm the one kind of running around like a bumblebee. But yeah,
I think you're right. That is a capability. That
it is. Nobody reads.
It's a, I won't say a lost art, but a dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I mean, I think that, I mean, one of the things that I want to, I'm very interested in historical narratives, generally speaking, or narratives that are grounded in something.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to want, like when we were working with the animation team in Kenya on a feature, it came to the point where I knew as much or more about things that had to do with Kenyan folklore and mythology than the people who were the Kenyans that were working on the project with us. Just because I want to know,
right?
You know, and I don't want to betray. I don't want to do something that's betraying it. And so I don't want to be that sort of awful person who creates something that just, I just didn't happen to know that that existed because I didn't go look for it. I look.
Right. Right.
I look.
Yeah. It goes back to being authentic, doesn't it?
Right? To me, yeah.
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 That's awesome.
And then for me, I have like 1,000, you know, things going on. But so right now I do here in Syracuse, I work for Syracuse Stage as their community engagement director. And I've been able to partner with them. I'm very excited. We're going to be offering improv for entrepreneurs. So for all of those entrepreneurs out there, and we'll be sharing some stuff. So we have dynamic listening, we have executive presence, and my favorite, connecting to creative thinking, right brain and left brain communication. So I'm doing a couple of workshops around town, with WBOC being one of them. And I'm very excited about this because I do a lot of work outside of Syracuse. So this is very exciting about doing something here in Syracuse. And then I also, you know, I'm also a director. So I've just finished directing a documentary. I've just finished directing a show in Hartford. I'm directing a show next week. So a lot of things on the plate. But again, it's really about, you know, getting people to do, you know, cross the threshold. Come on over. Artists are not so scary. And saying to the artist, all right, the business people are not so scary either, right? So what could happen if we actually learned from each other?
Right.
And I think that that's one of the things I think is really important, not just for business leaders now, but also for young people.
Right.
Because like you said, they're so smart. They're so empathetic listeners, right? And some of them are like so smart when it comes to business, but need that like extra push over here.
Sure.
And other ones are like so artistic that you're like, okay, get grounded.
Right.
You can do this. So I'm just excited to, I love to see people succeed, like you said.
Yeah.
When people succeed, it just lights me up and,
well, that's
you
the
know,
juice, right?
That's the juice.
Excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just dropped this on me today, and I'm going to tell you, I already have a couple clients in mind that I'm currently working with in leadership development, and I love this one header for the one workshop, executive presence, leaning into leadership, and command attention, inspire confidence, lead with authority. And there's some more information here, which you're going to share with our listeners, and that'll be available. But I'm going to talk with you more about this because I think there might be some crossover capability possibilities as I get them through some kind of leadership 101 and 102, where maybe this could be the next step, especially for some people who I'm thinking of, and I'm not going to share any names or companies, but kind of more newly minted senior leaders, right? That this could be a really good opportunity for them. That is so, so cool.
I think one of the things that we forget is that we all step into a role, right? Yeah. You know, right now I'm in the role of talking about the business. You know, I'll go home and I'm in the role of mom.
Right.
And I'll go to work and I'm in the role of the director, right? But really understand, really kind of not conflating, so that when we come to work or when we're leading people, we need to take on the role of leadership.
Right.
And that is a very specific role. And it's a scary role because it also comes with a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And you got to be excited about that responsibility.
Yeah. Have to embrace it.
You got to embrace it. And I think that being able to have, you know, being able to have the presence, that's it. But presence is such a unique thing. It's what, when you walk into the room, how do you radiate that energy?
Mm-hmm.
And that instantly, like what Brad talked about, authenticity and trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So big, so big.
I teach acting at SU, and one of the things I find myself saying a lot is to somebody, both hands, both feet. If you're going to do it all the way.
Yeah.
Don't be halfway.
No,
do
halfway.
It all the way.
Yeah, yeah. Jump in, right? All or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't. I'm thinking of a comment from a boss previously, but it's probably inappropriate, so I won't say it. But let's just say he used to, you know, we're either, when it came to making a decision, either we're going all in or we're not at all, right? Yeah. This is, and I love that about him, right? There was no halfway, right?
Yeah, like you can't learn to swim without getting wet.
We're going. We're jumping in the deep end, right? Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about where you're at today from where you were almost 2 years ago when you came to me and I started working with you, because ultimately your goal is to make distinctive voices the primary gig.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that at least I've had to learn is that you can't do it all by yourself, right? We've been so lucky to meet with people like you. I met with, you know, people at, you know, Wise, Center State, you know, different things, and being able to create an incredible team. I think one of the reasons what for me that it was always a side hustle was because there wasn't really a support network. And now I'm accountable to people. And that makes a big difference. Like when I get your emails, you're like, okay, accountability check-in. That's what you got, right?
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, Brad. And it's like the night before and we're like trying to put something together. But we do it. And then when we see where we've, what we've done and how we've grown, it really is an eye opener every you know, week, or being able to say, hey, oh, wow, I guess we did that. Oh, we didn't check that box off. Oh, that's so cool. So that's, I think that's the biggest thing is like when you have somebody that you're accountable to, it really, at least for me, it pushes me to say yes. I, even if it's one thing, I've done one thing and I keep moving forward. And I think that that's a plus.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's partnering with these guys here at Growth Mode Technology for the podcast, right? I have a coach from the Trusted Advisors Network, right? That we basically talk typically at least once a week, right? And sometimes I call him and, you know, hey, Gerard, help, right? You know, and but it's also that accountability. You're so right. That's that. We need that, right? I think it keeps us on balance, keeps us focused, right? Because we're human beings and we can all lose that focus at times. That's awesome. What's next for Distinctive Voices?
Taking over the world.
So you've got this program going. Mm-hmm. You've got some really, really cool stuff cooking.
Yes.
Right? What's the next step, 6 months?
Hopefully we'll have our own podcast.
There you go.
Just kidding.
Well, I'm going to tell you, before we even finish, you guys are welcome back here anytime.
Oh, thank you.
You know, total honesty. You're two of my favorite clients because you know, I did spend, and you know this, mm-hmm. part of my background before I started this business, I did work for a company that did manufacturing and installation for equipment in the performing arts space.
Oh, that's right.
So I've interacted with people in that world, and I've already learned a little bit about the left brain, right brain mm-hmm. difference, right? But I love working with you, too, because you always get my top spinning, too, as much as I get yours spinning, because I see things from a different angle, right? And like you, I love learning, right? I'm that guy that's going to go read something just because it was interesting, even though I might have no reason in my life to apply it mm-hmm. somewhere, right? That is so cool. If someone is interested in possibly utilizing your services, what's the best way to contact you?
Email is the best way, okay. which is distinctivevoicesllc@gmail.com.
Yep.
Very easy. And, you know, we're also very lucky because we do get a lot of work. So we also have other members of our team. So if somebody's interested in translation work, we have a translator that we work with. If I'm overwhelmed with directing work or something like that, we have other directors that come from a vast array of, you know, people who we've worked with for the last 30 years that we know and trust.
Right.
But for the most part, send us an email, distinctivevoicesllc@gmail.com. And what's your website? Brad underscore?
Brad-that one?
Yeah.
Brad-beckman.com.
Cool.
Yeah.
But,
and so mine's joannyarrow.co.
Cool.
So, you know, if you want to look us up and see, you know, if we're the real deal, that's where you can find us. But send us an email.
Well, I'm here to tell you, they are the real deal. very, very smart, creative people, very driven, very passionate about what you do. I'm so drawn to that. I want to thank you again for coming on today.
Thank you.
We're definitely going to have you back. You guys are the best. Thank you so much, Brad. Great to see you. Joanne, pleasure always. And that's it for this segment with the Operations Excellent podcast. Thanks again to our producer, Mike. Mike, you're the best, buddy. And love you too, brother. Hello again from the beautiful studios here at Growth Mode Technology. Thanks as always to our host, Matt Major, the owner of Growth Mode Technologies, your IT source. And to our wonderful and always present producer, Mike Brindisi. Mike, how are you today, sir?
Oh, man, I'm great because I'm here with you.
Oh, you're my hero. You are my hero.
Stop it.
All right, so let's jump right in. We have a remote guest, my good friend, and I will say that this gentleman and I go back to first grade, which is probably long before some of our listeners have been born. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce John Jack Scarzi, the VP of Operations and Finance with U.S. Air Conditioning Distributors, located in beautiful Southern California. John, how are you today, sir?
Good, Mark. Good. Good afternoon. Still morning here, but good afternoon to you guys there at Syracuse.
And a good morning to you on the West Coast, and I appreciate you joining us.
Nice to be here.
Awesome. Can you tell our audience, to start off with, a little bit about your background and your connection to Syracuse?
Sure. Well, I was thinking about that this morning. My connection to Syracuse, I was born there. I'm a proud Eastwoodite, grew up in Eastwood, went to school in East Syracuse, went to college in Syracuse, and spent about half my life there. I won't give my age away, but I left Syracuse about 30 years ago. So if you could do math, you could figure it out. I've been in California now for 31 years, actually left Syracuse 34 years ago. I've been in California now 31 years, had a stop in Chicago in between. By the time I got to California, in 1994, I officially adopted my Hollywood name, Jack Scarzi. So for all those people in Syracuse, I'm still John, still the same guy.
Right. And that's to differentiate within the company between you and your dad, who is John Sr.
Yes. And we have probably four other Johns here, too. So when I got to California, they said, you can work here, but you got to change your name. So on the drive in from the airport, I settled on Jack. So, and it's kind of nice to have a stage name when I go to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as we said before we kicked it off today, I'll probably refer to you as John, but Jack as well. So tell us a little bit about U.S. Air Conditioning Distributors, founding of the company. I know it goes back over 30 years. What's been happening, where you're at today?
Yeah, the company was started in 1990. My father and his partner were business managers for Carrier Corporation. And in 1990, Carrier Corporation was made a decision to spin off the distribution to private companies. So my father and his partner were able to assemble a team financially to buy the distributorship from Carrier in 1990. So in 1990, they started the company, small group of people here in Southern California, about three or four branch offices. And then in 1993, they expanded again. They bought a couple other distributions, the Bryant brand and the Payne brand, which are also Carrier brands. And 1994, I show up. So I started to, my background is accounting. I'm a CPA. I was working in Chicago. The idea was for me to come out to California, learn the business, and then they were going to expand into Houston and San Antonio. That deal never went through, so I was marooned here in Southern California. And I tell you what, it's a nice place to be marooned about February when it's 80 degrees out. I'm thinking, where am I? So I ended up staying out here in California and worked in the accounting department. I switched over to operations about 5 years after that. And since that time, I've been mostly in operations. And my title today is Vice President of Operations and Finance. So I've got a little bit of a financial responsibility, but mostly operations is what I do today. And I couldn't be happier. It's a great job. I love coming to work every day. And I've been at it now for 31 years.
That's awesome. So I know from working with you, and you and I have been working together in the context of operations excellence, working with U.S. Air Conditioning for, my goodness, it's a little bit over 3 years now. How about that? That's scary. Time flies. But I've learned so much about your company and being friends for as long as we have. I've always had a deep respect for you. But my respect for what you've been able to do with that company and your leadership style within that company has only just expanded exponentially. And so a little bit more, I mean, you talked about some of the growth. I know you start the company when it started, when your dad and his partners started bought the company, you had 13 branches. Is that correct?
Well, initially they had six, and then they went to 13 couple of years later, when they picked up the Bryant and the Payne brand. So they had 13 branches for a while, and then all in Southern California. Yeah, we were basically Southern California. Went up as far north as Bakersfield, but we were mostly Southern California. In 97, we had the opportunity to expand into Utah and Idaho, which was kind of interesting. And I had a big hand in the process of bringing those two territories into the fold as far as operations and IT. In 2002, Carrier gave us more territory. They gave us Northern California. So when we got Northern California, at the same time, there was another distributor of other products that was for sale. So we purchased a distribution house that had 22 branches in Northern California. But they didn't have product to sell. And we picked up the Bryant product line from Carrier. So we sat at about 39 branches overnight, which was pretty challenging. Then about 2006, we picked up the Arizona territory from Carrier. We had not the Carrier brand, but we had an off-brand. So we expanded into Arizona in 2006. In 2007, we ended up having an opportunity with Johnson Controls to distribute the York brand. And what that did is it brought us more opportunities in Arizona, and we picked up Northern Nevada. And so at that point in time with Johnson Controls, we expanded to just a little bit under 50 branches. Today, we're sitting at 52 branches in five states.
Is amazing. It's an amazing story. And successfully. Right. You've done that very successfully, growing, obviously, the top line, the revenue and growing some in incredible profitability. So you've done some great things in your leadership at U.S. Air Conditioning distributorships. We were joking before we started today, but can you tell the audience a little bit about your approach to leadership?
My approach to leadership is I'm really good at connecting with the humans that are here with the company. I think it's very important to have a personal touch, not to have everybody per se reporting to me, but I always remember when I first started working at a grocery store back in the 80s, and how it was really important for everybody in the store to have a connection to the manager, to have some sort of personal connection. And the first day when I was bringing in the carts from the parking lot, the manager said, "Thanks, John, you did a great job." And I was ready to run through a wall for that guy. And I kind of remember that to this day. I think to myself, you know, it's very important for me to be approachable by all the people in the company. We've got 475 people today in the company, and I probably could name about 450 of them with no problem. Sometimes I have trouble with the new people. Again, you know, it's a personal touch. It's kind of a, you know, they need to know, everybody needs to be valued. Everybody's a human and they need to be valued and they need to understand the goals of the company. So it's very important for me in my management or my leadership role to communicate to everyone what the goals are in the company so that we're all on the same page. Working with you, I realized that, you know, it's very important to have some structure because, you know, I was getting a lot of people pinging me from all over the place. And what we've done over the last 3 years is we kind of set up a structure where I have a lot of different regional managers and middle managers to help me accomplish the goals of the company. You can't do it all by yourself. And I have a tendency to be wanting to do everything myself. And over the last 3 years, we've made a lot of progress in kind of sketching out the organization, the structure, and to make it so that everybody has a chance to participate in what we're trying to do here, which is, you know, being a successful company, making increased sales and profits and creating a good situation for everybody.
Yeah, it's been so much fun to work with you and your team and your people. And I've told you a number of times how impressed I am with so many of the people in your organization. I want to go back to something you talked about and how you're connecting with all the people. So if I could, for our audience, I would propose you could boil that down into one phrase, that you're a relationship builder. You build relationships. Fair?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's my strength. I mean, I'm, you know, you can see behind me, I'm a big Ted Lasso fan and I feel like I'm a coach. I'm always a coach. I'm probably not the best hitter on the team. Maybe I don't even hit at all, but for me, it's important to identify talent and to make sure that talent has got the back, has got the support, has got the encouragement to go forward and to take it further than I ever could personally. So I'm a relationship guy. I'm a coach. You know, I'm the kind of guy that, you know, I'm a good cheerleader.
Yeah. And, you know, for our audience, it is a two-way street. You know, one of the common themes I hear from people throughout U.S. Air Conditioning Distributorships is this feels like a family, right? And I think that gets overused in business that, oh, we want it to be a family atmosphere. But they really feel like they belong and they're vested in it and they're all in, right? And that's a cool thing. And I think that only happens from the top. Right. When you have somebody like yourself that understands that it is all about relationships, right? Business is all about relationships at the end of the day, whether it's your team, whether it's your suppliers, whether it's your customers, it's all about relationship building, right? Because you want those customers that are going to walk through a wall for you, right? That are going to stick with you through the tough times.
It's about relationships and it's about trust. And you have to have about relationships, it's about trust. When you establish that trust with your customers, when you establish that trust with your employees, you can move mountains. It's you know, there's so much out there today. There's so many different situations where, you know, big companies and big corporations are always trying to cut corners or kind of overanalyze stuff. But, you know, the main thing is, you know, there's a human that works in every desk. There's a human behind every desk and they need to feel like they're valued. And they feel motivated and to help us to reach our goals. It's impossible to do it by yourself. The more people you have on your team that know the goal, it's much easier to get there. And anytime we expand, anytime we grow this business, most of the time, I always look to grow from within, because I already know that they've got the culture embedded in them if they're working for us. And when we want to grow, it's all about finding the right people, finding them early, and making it possible for them to have a career with our company. One of the things I'm most proud of is that we've got the attrition rate here is really, really low. We've got 18 people here that have been here since day one, 35 years ago. We've got probably, and I looked at the demographics, we've probably got 35 people here that have been here for 30 years. We've got 100 people that have been here for 20 years. We've got 200 people that have been here for 10 years. In fact, our average employee has been here 11.6 years, which is 475. And that's, you know, and that's a strength. That is the definite strength. And, you know, we bring in new people all the time. And that's really, you know, our focus today is finding good people to bring into the company. But our intention is not just to have them here for a couple of years. Our intention is to have them here for a career. And I think they feel that and they value that.
Absolutely. You mentioned the word trust, and that is so key, right? When I'm coaching or doing one-on-one or doing group leadership development programs. And let's talk a little bit about how you establish and develop trust and earn trust, right? Because that's something that you've got to earn, right? Human beings, we don't meet somebody the first time and automatically trust them coming out of the box, do we?
Right.
So it's about transparency and things like honesty, integrity, right? And also it's about that two-way communication, right? Because what I have found, and you do this naturally, and a lot of people don't, right? You're a good listener. You're able to listen empathetically and understand where people are coming from and why they might be feeling that way. All right. We were talking about this earlier before we started the podcast today and how important that is. All right. But you people in your organization are heard and they know they are heard.
Right.
Right. And you're very transparent and open and honest about what's going on with the company and sharing information. And when there are struggles, you're open and honest about that, too. And that is how you get that level of trust that you guys have, which is amazing to see, especially in a company that's growing like you have, right? Because it's so easy sometimes for a culture to get disrupted when you have to bring so many new people in as you grow.
Sure.
But you've done a nice job, and I think it's twofold. It's by being careful about the people you bring in and understanding how they're going to fit and help that culture to grow. But also, you mentioned promoting internally,
right?
And
very important.
It's so critical, right? People want a path. But it also, now you know the people that are going to go from being workers into leadership roles, but something goes back to our first conversation before we started actually doing business. I didn't even try to sell you. It's one of the funniest stories I tell about my business. It was two friends having a conversation. You remember that?
That's true. Yeah, we had a lot of talent around here, a lot of young talent. And we just, you know, and it's amazing, especially in the HVAC world. You know, you're not necessarily going to attract college graduates. You're not going to have a lot of MBAs looking to work for you. It's not a real sexy kind of job, but it's a really successful business. And it's a very, very, there's a lot of opportunity out here. And I have some really talented people that started in the business, could have been started in the warehouse or as a driver, or, you know, on a parts counter. And to see that, to give them the opportunity to hone their skills, to hone their leadership skills, and to be a manager, to actually manage one of our branches. And we've brought so many people through the program and seen them grow over the years. And it's pretty cool to see that happen, to see some guys start in the warehouse. And we literally have guys that started in the warehouse that are regional managers today. That is not an exaggeration. And it's all because, you know, we've given them the coaching, the training. We've helped them along in their career. And they know our culture and our environment. And they grew up in it. And so, you know, they trust me. You know, I do what I say. I say what I do. I talk the talk, walk the walk. You know, I mean, There's no surprises. And if they're successful, you know, they have a, they, you know, they're financially taken care of and their families are taken care of. And you know, we continue on 35 years this year, hoping to go another 35.
There you go. Yeah. And just going back to that first conversation, I give you tremendous kudos because a lot of organizations and leaders in organizations don't understand how important it is when you have high performers. And back to that first conversation, you had already identified, I'm going to say a dozen or 15 high performers in your organization that you wanted to consider for possible promotion to branch manager positions. And yet you knew you had to provide them some additional tools, some skills and knowledge and some other things to help them become those leaders, because being a worker, being a doer is very different than being a leader. And so you were already out there looking to do that when we had that conversation. And like the light bulb went on for you, the switch got flicked and you were like, well, tell me about this stuff that you're doing in the leadership development. And I think to date, 3 years later, I think if you include the regional managers, we're pushing nearly 70 people, something like that, that we've put through leadership development.
Yes, yes. And it's really kind of a, you know, it boils down to, you know, me and you, we've been, you know, you're an MBA and I had a management degree and with a concentration in accounting. We've been exposed to a lot of these different behavioral, operational kind of theories. And we've had a lot of things that we've forgotten about. A lot of these people that are in these situations right now have never had that. They've never had that class. They've never been exposed to some of the theories and some of the management skills that we've kind of heard about or learned about. Or in my case, you know, I have to say, I went to Syracuse University, School of Management, but a lot of what I've learned over the years, I've kind of learned from people that I've learned from my bosses and the way they do things. And I've stolen more stuff than I will admit to, but a lot of the things that I've seen in my career and people I work for, you know, has really been, I've been lucky. I've had some great leaders that have trained me over the years. And I think it's, you know, it's really cool to take that knowledge and that experience and kind of impart it on the next generation.
And by the way, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery. And I've done a lot of that too, right? Like I've learned something from everybody I've ever worked for. And like you, I was not afforded as a young, newly minted manager, a development program, right? I went one Friday from being an engineer to on Monday, I was an engineering manager. And they basically said, here's the HR policies and gave me a little bit of training in those and said, good luck, right?
That's what happens.
Yeah, right? And so understanding from our own experiences that's not a good prescription for success, and you got it, you understood it. And like I said, even before you and I had that conversation in January of 2022, I guess it was, you understood, hey, I've got to help these people prepare for success, right? You knew that. And kudos to you for doing that. One of the other things I want to throw out to you, if you could, for our audience, one of the things that you and I do together pretty much every week is we have a one-on-one call. And if you could share with your audience, what's that? What is the benefit of that to you? And why do you keep doing that? Because you don't, you know, I don't do that for free.
No, I think for me, it's a time for me to kind of focus every week. You know, I always people ask me what I do. What was your day like? I said, it's kind of like, for those of you in the audience who remember the old Star Trek episodes, you know, they get on the ship and he says, good morning, Spock. Good morning, Captain. And then all of a sudden they look at the screen and stuff starts flying at them. And that's kind of like my job every day, you know. And I think it's important to be able to focus every week for an hour and kind of lay out our priorities and what we really want to accomplish in the future. And it's important to me to bounce stuff off somebody that's got as much experience as I do, a friend, somebody that I can trust, and kind of take a look at this stuff and say, how do we attack this? What are we going to do? When are we going to do this? When are we going to put that on the schedule? I think without it, it's kind of like, you know, you can lose track of time and months can go by and you're back in the same spot. You know, the weekly meetings give us a chance to focus in and kind of lay out our priorities for situations that we need to correct, situations we need to create, people we need to identify, and to be ready to go, in the event that we have another big expansion. And I think, what we've done in the background is we've created a bullpen of people that are ready to go. If I end up in a situation where somebody gives me another territory to open up, I can reach out to some of the people we've got in the training, and I can basically send out trained, experienced managers into a territory where we've never been before and be able to open up on day one, confident that they know what the goals are, confident that they're able to deal with new employees, and be able to go out there and spread the U.S. air conditioning mission, so to speak. But the weekly meetings are very important to focus for me, because my week can be crazy, like a Star Trek episode. That 1 hour gives me a chance to focus in and kind of prioritize what I want to do in the future.
Right. So maybe if I could boil it down, and you tell me if this is accurate or not, but to some extent, I've become a sounding board for you. Mm-hmm.
Also, like a business therapist.
Yeah, well, that too. And I get that, right? That's important, right? Because there are a lot of things that in your chair, in your role, right, that, and I get this because I spent more time right on your side of the desk than what I do now, that there's a lot of things going on you can't talk about with anybody else in the building for various reasons.
And, exactly.
Right? There's things that are frustrating, and yet you really can't, let that frustration leak into those relationships that you built within the building, right? And so I can be that sounding board. I can be that vent, right, to help you to vent a little. But also I would throw out to you perhaps maybe a term that makes sense is trusted advisor, right. and really I don't necessarily come up with any great answers. I mean, sometimes we kick around possible answers, but I get your top spinning and maybe help you see things a little differently. How's that?
No, that makes sense. And that is exactly a trusted advisor, somebody we have a conversation and go out and, and it's just kind of cool. It's like, okay, there it is. We get 45 minutes into a phone call and, oh, that's it. That's the big idea for today. Let's move on now. And it's really kind of cool. And it's not something, like you say, it's somebody independent from somebody that's here, working with me. Sometimes meetings can get a little bit not productive. A lot of times you put a meeting together with a bunch of people and it's, whether it's planning a party or planning a presentation, it doesn't seem like you get too far. And these conversations, because they're informal and because it is just an hour, we have a tendency to focus in on important issues for me, and it helps me to kind of get it off my chest.
Right. Absolutely. And from my perspective, it's been so much fun working with you, because I get to be a participant in a small way, but also a witness to see the things that's going on and the things that you're doing. And it's so much fun to just be a part of that and be a witness to that. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate you.
Oh, thanks, man. You didn't realize how crazy my life was until then, huh?
I would start every week with my to-do list, and then, 8:05 a.m. would happen. And right, the stuff would hit the fan and life, that's by the end of the week. If I got to three things on my list, it was a good week most weeks, right? I totally get it, right? That priorities change and having that outside entity to check in with, I think, and to help you see things from a different perspective is so valuable. And I love being a part of that for you. So if you could, for a few minutes, tell the listeners, what's going on from here? What's the future look like for U.S. Air Conditioning? What are you guys focusing on today, and where are you going?
We've got in our industry, there's all kinds of changes going on. We've got changes in refrigerant. We've got a lot of new products, a lot of new offerings. We're always we're very much into the green technology, more efficient air conditioners. We're always pushing high efficiency air conditioners. Our business ourselves, we've just started to implement electrify our our fleet of trucks. We've got 7 new fully electric delivery trucks in our fleet. We're looking at growing, taking on more products. We're doing really well with a ductless split systems, which are air conditioning systems that don't have ductwork. Something that's new to this country.
They're in Asia and Europe, right?
Yeah, and it's super, super efficient. I think as the cost of energy goes up, I think, you know, even here in the United States, we've got to really take a look and see what we can do to make the world a more efficient place. The refrigerant change has a lot to do with the greenhouse effect, so there's big changes coming down the road for that. And then, you know, I mean, me personally, I love my job. I love coming in every day. But there's also, my goal is to kind of set this up for the future. Make sure that I have plenty of managers around, plenty of people that are trained and ready to go so that someday, maybe who knows, I may be able to take a day off, right? That would be nice.
I've been impressed with the moves you've made. You don't necessarily have to talk about all the details, but one of your real growth areas as far as existing markets that you're already in is in Arizona.
Right.
And I don't know if you want to touch on some of the things, you know, maybe generally that are going on there.
Really excited about Arizona. We took on Arizona with the focus of the business in Arizona initially was heavily into the residential side of the business. And if you know anything about Arizona, Arizona is like 120 degrees for, you know, the whole month of July and about 110 degrees the whole month of August. So the residential air conditioning systems get most of the attention. The flip side is the residential air conditioning business in Arizona is very competitive. Margins are not as good as you would find in Southern California. Air conditioners don't last as long, so there's a lot of warranty processing and stuff like that. But we changed the focus of it recently to take advantage of the growing commercial business in Arizona. We brought in new management in Arizona, more of a commercially minded general manager. We brought in some higher end commercial territory managers or salespeople that can talk the talk with commercial business. And I see that as being a huge growth opportunity. Arizona is probably growing faster than any other place in the country for commercial air conditioning. So we're really excited about that. We've got a good team lined up. We started out the end of last year, and we're already seeing some good stuff out there coming back to us. And it's really kind of fun. It's fun when you go into new territory. You know, we went up to Utah and Idaho in 97, and it's fun to see those areas where you go and you don't know much about the areas or the people or what kind of needs that your customers have. But, you know, 25 years later, that is a mature business, really mature business in Idaho and Utah that we basically, you know, we kind of set it up right. And we don't pay. I mean, obviously, we communicate with them quite often and we're very proud of what we started in those states, but very mature, very, very steady business. That's what we hope for in Arizona, is to someday sit back and say, man, this thing is really paying out. I think it's a great opportunity. So, yeah, that's what I'm mostly focused on lately is growth in Arizona. We're in the Southwest. I mean, and I don't think anybody would, you know, I'm a big Bills fan, too. And there was Coach Levy, who just turned 99. One of his famous sayings is, where would you rather be than right here, right now? And that's what I think about air conditioning in the Southwest. Where would you rather be if you were an air conditioning distributor than the Southwest?
Yeah.
You know, where would you rather be than right here, right now?
Doubt.
Absolutely.
One of the other things you mentioned the commercial market, and I know you've been getting quite a few projects for big data centers and these server farms, right?
There is so much work out there in data centers, in server farm. I mean, it's incredible when you're looking at all the cloud computing done today and all the things with AI and even some of the cryptocurrency places, and you know, there's so much work in data farms, and I don't know. I mean, it's I don't see the end. I mean, I think they said some of these factories are out 3 or 4 years, so the production, so they keep building more of these servers, and the factories are doing well. They've got quite a backlog, and I think that's going to be a big thing in the future for air conditioning, is server farms and data centers.
So do you have anything else you'd like to touch on today, sir, for our listeners?
No, just, looking back and at all this, you know, I've been out here for over half my life now. And, you know, I still have fun every day. And part of it is just being around people, being able to reach out to new people. I think one of the cool things in my career at this point in time is kind of relating to the younger generations. And I find it kind of interesting. And I've read up on, you know, certain things that certain generations have different motivations. And, you know, you've got your boomers, you know, they're a certain way, and you've got your Gen X, you got your millennials. And now we're starting to get into the Gen Zs, and I'm having a lot of fun with the Gen Zs. I think, you know, my kids are Gen Z, and so I kind of know what makes them tick. But one of the cool things I do throughout the year is we have little kind of theme days here in the office. We've got about 175 people here in the office. I'm not exactly Michael Scott, but I have a lot of fun with the young kids. We have, we'll celebrate St. Paddy's Day and Cinco de Mayo, and we have one day, we take one Friday, and we designate that as Aloha Friday. We all dress in our Hawaiian wear, and we just kind of have a real good time with it. And it's kind of fun to see these kids come into a business, or they start brand new from college, and they're in there. You mean we're supposed to wear Hawaiian shirts? I said, yes, of course. And we play Hawaiian music during the day, and I'm just hoping that someday, somewhere, one of these kids is going to be my age someday, and you say, remember that Jack Scarcy? He was such a cool boss. That's my goal. Someday, somewhere in the year 2070, one of these kids is going to say, remember that guy back in 2025, that Jack Scarcy? He was a hoot, man. He was a good guy.
Right, but that's leaving a legacy.
Right. That's what I get most of my motivation today, is to make sure that we keep this thing going, whether I'm here or not.
Right.
You know, people can still have that spirit, the entrepreneurial spirit. They have that. They have the love of their job and the enthusiasm that'll last them throughout their careers.
Right. You know, you touched on something that I deal with a lot of clients, because the workforce is changing. Right. Just in the past couple of years, our generation, the baby boomers, are no longer the majority of the workforce. And that's a brand new thing that hasn't happened for several decades. Right. So you have been successful with the younger generations and bringing them in and acclimating them and getting them on board and connecting with them. So maybe a two-part question. Why do you think you've been as successful as you have been? Because you have been successful. And then part two would be, what are the challenges that might be unique to some of the younger generations in trying to connect with them?
Well, I think the first thing is you have to have an open mind. I mean, you are not going to be, you know, the kids today aren't motivated the same way we were when we got out of college. And it's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. I mean, you know, just because they leave at 5:01 and they come at 8:00, that's not a bad thing. You can't get down on them for that, because they have they value a lot of their free time more than we did. And it's not unhealthy. I think it's very healthy for people to have a life outside of work. It's balanced, but they also have other qualities. I think if you really dig into it, they're very loyal people, very loyal. They're very creative. And you know what? I think a lot of these kids that are especially coming out today, they've been through COVID. They've been through lockdown. You know, there's something about being able to be with people during the day and to interact, and to have coffee, to have conversations at the water cooler. It's a real important human thing. You need to be you need to have interactions with other people. And I encourage it. That's why we do stuff. That's why we have games or we have special days. I encourage them to go around and introduce themselves to each other and to find out more about, you know, who they are as a people. And I think that's kind of the thing. You have to be open-minded. You got to be able to don't get stuck in your old ways. Be open-minded. I mean, the world's going to continue on without you and your generation. You know, don't pressure, you know, don't put everybody in the same box. They're all different. And, you know, and they're all have their own strengths. And you got to concentrate on the strengths. Keep it positive. You need people. You can't do it alone.
No, that's so true, right? Every individual, every human being is different, and connecting on that human level takes that ability to set aside some of our own thoughts and opinions sometimes. So,
absolutely.
No, that's awesome. That I appreciate you sharing that. That's a great point. All right, my friend, I think we've come to the end of our episode. I want to thank you again so much for taking some time out of your extremely busy day to join us.
My pleasure. No, it's always good to talk to you, buddy.
All right, man. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Take care.
All right, brother.
We'll see you. Stay warm there in Syracuse.
Yeah, enjoy the weather in SoCal.
Thanks, man.
See ya. That ends podcast number 2 for Operations Excellence. I want to thank you so much for tuning in and listening today. Hope you enjoyed our guest. First guest was Brad Beckman and Joanne Yarrow from Distinctive Voices, my good friends from the performing arts world. And our second guest today was Mr. John Jack Scarzi from U.S. Air Conditioning Distributors. I want to thank them for coming in and hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next time. Thanks.